Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Row, Nick Keyser here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll be joined to begin the 8 o'clock hour by Gentry Estes. Get his thoughts on the Titans, get his thoughts on Vanderbilt and Tennessee in the NCAA tournament as well. So looking forward to that. It looks like Titans are drafting Cam Ward. We'll see if that actually ends up playing out in actuality. And a lot of your thoughts on that front. Phillip brings this up on the text line, and it's not the first time we've gotten a question like this week, so let's address it. It says, after training camp and all the preseason games, if Levis looks better than Ward and starts week one, does Ward need to start week one no matter how Levis plays to justify the pick? There has to be a thought that a third-year Levis can outshine the rookie. If Cam Ward is – this is just my thought on it, Joe. You can tell me if you disagree. If Cam Ward is the pick, I don't think it matters what Will Levis looks like in camp. First off, I'm still not convinced Will Levis is going to be here. There's a long time between now and August when camp opens up. I think there's still a chance he's not on the roster by the time that rolls around. If he is on the roster and Cam Ward's the pick, I don't think it really matters what Will Levis does. He's not going to start over Cam Ward when the season starts.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either. And, you know, it's an interesting – if that were the case and they have Levis, Brandon Allen, and Cam Ward, like, you know, obviously Brandon Allen is in the he's just here to be a backup quarterback. It's what he is. But like, what do they do with reps? I mean, you just immediately just say Cam Ward QB1, you're getting all the first team reps.
Yeah. I think that's what you do.
So, and that's where it's like, that's why, as we've talked about a million times, I think it makes more sense for Levis to just not be here.
Which is why I still think he won't be.
Yeah.
Like, I know he's here right now, but there's a long time between now and training camp.
Yeah, so that would be my guess. But, yeah, like the idea, if you're taking a QB at QB1, I mean, that's what you're, you know, that's what you're – usually when teams do that, either they have no one or they have an older quarterback. And, you know, sometimes that's the choice is Jacoby Brissett, do that for a few weeks. Gardner Minshew, you know, the Colts were supposed to be going with Gardner Minshew 2 years ago, and then they were just like, well, actually, Anthony Richardson, you start. That was one of those situations where it wasn't like a slam dunk, like, you know, he's top of the draft and they weren't just going to go with him. They still went with him,
yeah.
But it wasn't rep-wise in camp. But that's a different thing. That's a Minshew, journeyman veteran who has started and had some success. And Levis is a very recent second-round pick who just hasn't worked out in 2 years. So it's just a weird situation if he's here.
Well, we had a caller – before we got to Mike Wilson, Scott called in and was talking about who's Ward going to throw the ball to if he's the pick at number one. And right now, the answers to that question are pretty bleak. Like, you've got Calvin Ridley, who is fine. We'll see if he is a legitimate number one wide receiver with better quarterback play. We'll see if Cam Ward gives better quarterback play than what we saw last year. You got Chig and Josh Wiley at tight end. Neither of which are all that exciting, but I think are low-level starters in the league that you can at least get by with. And then beyond that, there's a ton of work to do at wide receiver. I mean, you've got Van Jefferson on the team. You've got Bryce Oliver, who knows if he's even a serviceable NFL player. I think there's some high hopes for him, but who knows what that looks like. So you're going to have to continue to fill those needs. We talked yesterday about some free agent veteran options that are out there. I think one of those guys is going to make sense, and I think the Titans need to explore that. The draft, I would be stunned if they don't come away with at least one receiver in the draft, relatively high here. So there's going to be, I think, probably two or three more additions to the room that you're going to see between now and then that are going to play significantly for this team heading into next year. But the bottom line is, like, it's difficult to expect that between now and the time the season opens up that you're going to look at, like, the skill positions and the weapons for Cam Ward to throw the ball to, and you're going to be blown away by it. It's going to be like Calvin Ridley and a bunch of guys, and maybe a rookie that can come in and be really impactful for you. We'll see.
Yeah. Can you get, I don't know. I mean, Luther Burden probably won't be there. Like at 35, who can you get? Matthew Golden won't be there. Probably won't be there for your Packers either. But
probably not.
They'll be, if you went receiver, if your top player was a receiver, I mean, that would be, it'd be a nice thing to give as you've worked on this offensive line. It'd be really nice to give your quarterback a receiver too, you know. It just then, you know, the people on the defensive side of the bar are like, hey, yeah, what about us? So there's going to be some signings, but none of them are going to be, you know, game-changing signings from here in free agency. I mean, you have to add bodies. Texture says, Greg Cosell and Chris Sims said Cam Warren's their favorite player in the draft, regardless of position. You can't pass on it. Well, I mean, Greg Cosell, Chris Sims, any draft analyst you want to mention, any GM you want to mention, any coach you want to mention, any radio gas bag you want to mention are dead wrong on a million people. I mean, we're all wrong all the time. So, I mean, I think Greg Cosell's a really good analyst, but, like, if you want to go through his history of people he's loved and hated in the draft, I promise you you'll find some huge mistakes because everybody makes them.
Yeah, and look, you'll also find people that look at Cam Ward and they say, yeah, I just don't see it. I don't think that he's worthy of the number one overall pick. I have no idea. Like, Cam Ward may come out of the gate and be awesome. Like, Cam Ward may be exactly what the Titans are looking for. Like, I would hope throughout this process, with a combination of the film and meeting the guy in person and going over the film with him and talking to him and gathering more information about him, clearly, if the Titans go that way and that's the way that they're leaning, then he has convinced and the tape has convinced them that they feel like he could be a franchise-level quarterback and he could be a guy that changes the direction of where this whole thing is going right now. So maybe he is. I hope he is. Like, that would be great. I mean, Titans have been looking for that for a long time. They need that guy coming in here. And, again, like you watch him play, he can make the throws. If he cuts down on the mistakes, then he could be that guy at the NFL level. It's just how effectively is he going to be able to do that? And look, I know we get caught up. It's this time of year. Like, Jared's talked about this. We've talked about this. We've talked about, like, how he's graded and where he's ranked among some recent first-round picks. And I'm not saying that that's unimportant, but a lot of those guys, we went through the list. Zach Wilson's graded pretty high. Not worked out very well at the NFL level. You know, you can find some guys lower on the list that were not graded as highly that have turned into some pretty good players in the league. So draft grades, I'm not saying they're unimportant, but they're also not everything heading into the draft process.
No, all of this stuff, you can go, if you really want to go back, just go back to last year. I mean, last year's a little harder, although there's still plenty of outcomes now that have been surprising. But go back 3 years, 5 years, and just go read. Like, again, Dane Brugler is awesome. He does incredible stuff. We'll have him on before the draft, but go back and read some of the recaps and some of the evaluations of some of these guys, and it's just completely wrong in terms of what ends up happening in the league, good or bad. It's just like there's just things you can't. There are so few like actual sure things, you know, and sometimes what we think is a sure thing does work out, and so you're like, there you go, see, there are. But there are other sure things that don't. So, you know, it's just like situation atmosphere. You just don't know how someone's going to react to stepping into this world, too, as a, you know, the money, all of it. I mean, it affects people differently, which makes it a fascinating thing because if this was so easy and it was just math, then it would be a lot more boring.
Skyler says the Titans are already making a mistake by not sitting the rookie quarterback in year one. Assuming Ward is the pick and the starter next year, how much action are you guys expecting Pollard and Spears to get in order to help out Ward? I mean, I would assume a lot. Number one, it brings up another interesting point of like how we talk about pass protection all the time. How much of an upgrade is the offensive line going to be in them trying to run the ball, right? Like that's a big friend to your rookie quarterback if you can run the ball effectively. So I would assume, I mean, current, especially based on where their roster is right now and the lack of any weapons at wide receiver, that running the ball would have to be a big part of what they want to do next year.
Running the ball has never not mattered in football. I know like Kaharski would argue otherwise. Pass it, pass the ball. That was a terrible Kaharski. But Running the ball always matters. It always does. And look at teams that have been winning at a high level in this league recently. You can find a whole bunch of running attacks that are a huge part of that. Yes, great quarterback play too, of course. Yeah, you gotta compliment him with a running game. But also, it would help to have another weapon. I agree, another tight end, but like another weapon on the outside to give you balance. So in that a defense now is in conflict and can't just pin you down.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take more of your thoughts on Cam Ward and the Titans, plus a player now off the board that I was hoping the Titans would have targeted, that they did not. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, the game. Need a bracket to fill out for the NCAA Men's Tournament? Head to thegamenashville.com and download our print-off bracket. Presented by Toyota. Fuel your adrenaline at toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places. Also brought to you by thenewcumberland.com, Twin Peaks, and Bet365. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Row, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number. I got one texter on Cam Ward, says, "Don't get me wrong, boys. I'm not saying Cam Ward is anything like Lamar Jackson. But when Lamar Jackson came out of Louisville, I don't remember him having a huge stock. From what I remember, most people thought it was unsustainable."
Yeah,
that is absolutely true.
People were insanely stupid about Lamar Jackson, including some on this station. By the way, man, if I was good at searching tweets, maybe you can help me with this. Go back and find some of my tweets from when Lamar Jackson was in college. I was like, what's wrong with you idiots who don't understand this guy's going to be great in the NFL? Like, seriously. I swear I tweeted it like at least 3 or 4 times. Now, again.
Did you compare him to Dan Fouts?
Well, come on. That's just a little lofty. But, no, Lamar Jackson went at the end of the first round, right? I don't know if it was the last
second.
Pick.
I think he was 32nd.
Okay, there he was. It was the last pick. So, yeah, a huge miss for people who thought. Now, again, yes, Cam Ward and Lamar Jackson, I don't compare their games at all. I mean,
they're very different.
Yeah, he's a great example of people missing the wrong way or the other way.
Which happens all the time.
That happens all the time, too. Which is why Brock Purdy went in the 7th round and Tom Brady went in the 6th round. And, you know, these are outliers, but it still happens.
Dustin in Nashville says, "The issue with not taking Ward and waiting a year is you can end up in the Giants position this year, and if you don't have number one, where the teams in front of you may be dead set on their guy, they're not willing to trade back." This is from Dustin in Nashville on the text line.
Yeah, but that's just not why you make decisions.
I agree.
You know, you make this decision because you actually believe that he's the guy.
I totally agree. Having said that, Giants are in a tough spot.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe Aaron will.
Russ, come on down.
Seems like Aaron. Aaron's third choice, or maybe fourth choice after retirement.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if Aaron's going to decide what he's going to do before training camp starts. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
I mean, good Lord.
I mean, at some point, these teams have to move on, right?
You would think. I don't know how long this is going to drag out. Yeah, I mean. At this point, based on all the reporting around it, we read off the piece from Jeremy Fowler earlier about how the Titans are comfortable with Cam Ward. Yeah, I would be surprised at this point if it goes any other direction than the Titans taking Cam Ward at number one overall. For us, like it's going to be fun. Like at some point, the Titans are going to find their franchise quarterback in a draft, and we're going to talk about that quarterback for the next 10, 12 years. Is it going to be Cam Ward? Is it going to be 30 years from now? I don't know. There's going to come a time at some point along the way where the Titans successfully identify a quarterback in the draft, and I'm hoping that Cam Ward's the guy if that's the way they go.
Yeah. Actually, that would be an interesting story. Let's see if Kaharski will work on this story on, you know, comparing the different franchises in this league in terms of droughts or how many swings and misses trying to get. Obviously, Cleveland immediately comes to mind. The thing about Cleveland is
they actually
did make a good pick, and he was good, and then they decided to move on. And
now,
boy,
he's good somewhere else.
And, boy, do they regret that. But, yeah, you're talking about – I mean, you're talking 30 years.
Yep.
McNair was
I think 95.
95 or 96?
I think he was 95.
So you're talking 30 years since you've been able to draft a franchise quarterback and have it work out, and you've missed on several guys since then. So That's again, I think, you know, there's probably other franchises. First of all, there's franchises with longer histories. I mean, you know, the Oilers, well, of course, Warren Moon was, I'm trying to think, was Warren Moon drafted, but then, no, he was just signed out of the CFL several years into his CFL career. So, yeah, they really haven't. I mean, I wouldn't call Dan Pastorini, you know, he was fine, handed off to Earl Campbell for the most part. Yep. So, I mean, Steve McNair is the one guy in the history of this franchise going back to the early 60s. That's pretty barren.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and look, they're not alone there. Like, you know, Detroit had Stafford for a long time, which people forget about because they were so bad with Stafford for a long time.
I mean, they still went to the playoffs a few times. Yeah. So, I mean, that they finally got it right with him.
Right.
You know?
But, I mean, there was a long time through the wilderness before that. I mean, remember the Joey Harrington pick?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
There's another guy that there's another guy that I swear, if he didn't get drafted by that crap franchise, he could have worked out somewhere else, you know? But that's a lot of the story. Right now, I mean, the Chicago Bears, I don't think have ever hit. I mean, you could say Jim McMahon. I mean, they won a championship, but Jim McMahon was not a star quarterback in the NFL with great numbers. He was he was a lively personality and a fine quarterback. I mean, I guess you could say, I mean, you won a championship.
Sure.
I don't know. Like that's where it gets interesting too. Like, if you won a championship with a guy and he was good, does that not count? But he's not a great quarterback, never was. So they've really never done it.
Right.
Until maybe.
Maybe
now.
Caleb Williams. We'll see. Joe, a player off the board that I would have liked to have seen end up with the Tennessee Titans. And of course, he ends up in Philadelphia, which has me fearful that he's gonna end up with like 10 sacks this year. But Azeez Ojulari agreed to a 1-year contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. We talked about him a lot in the draft process before he ended up getting drafted by the Giants. And look, you know, it's not like Azeez Ojulari has just torn it up with the Giants, but you're talking about a 24-year-old guy, a team right now in the Titans that is just absolutely barren at that position. He had 6 sacks last year. He had 8 his rookie year. He's had 8, 5.5, 2.5, and 6, and has had some injury problems throughout all of that. So, again, it's nothing to write home about with Azeez Ojulari, but at his age and given where the roster is right now, and especially seeing the deal that he got, 1 year, $4 million, I would have liked to see the Titans throw their name in the hat on that one.
I'm with you. The younger guy with some production, with some injury, but still younger, and there's still some – you know, there's some room to grow and maybe really, you know, find your stride in this league. I mean, we talked about him a ton during the draft year, which, remind me, which draft that was? Which draft was that and who they took?
Was that 2021?
I easily get them mixed up.
I think it was 2021. Let me double check that. It was 2021. There you go.
So that was Caleb.
Yeah, it was.
So they went. I guess it was edge or corner. Is that the idea that year? Basically, I feel like though, because I know we talked a lot about Newsom too, who of course has worked out quite well from Northwestern going to Cleveland that year. But regardless, yeah, I'm with you. And that, you know, they need to get in there. You know, this is the week of. It's like you have that first wave, and then you really do slow down a ton.
Yes.
And so it almost feels like it's over, but there will be another, you know, stretch of signings, and they will be active. I'm pretty confident in that. I don't know that I have a high confidence that they're going to get a lot of impact players, but this is where you have to fill out your roster, and you have to get some guys who can help you. And there are still guys out there who can do that.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for Pred's Pick to Click. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. We'll do Pred's Pick to Click. Also, an idea thrown out there from Deion Sanders about how to fix the spring game moving forward. We'll visit that. Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will do Pred's Pick to Click a little bit later in the program. Having some technical difficulties with the broadcast now, so we will get into that a little bit later in the program. Deion Sanders was speaking, Joe, as Colorado is underway with their spring practice, and had an interesting thought about the future of the spring game and maybe something that can be done to spice things up a little bit with spring football. Here's what Deion Sanders had to say, I believe yesterday at the University of Colorado.
Spring game will be televised. ESPN2 will broadcast spring game on the 19th. We got to sell this thing out and pack this thing, because the way the trend is going, you never know if this is going to be the last spring game. I don't believe in that. I don't really want to condone that. I would like to play the spring. Actually, I like to play against another team in the spring. That's what I'm trying to do right now, to have it competitive. Playing against your own guys kind of get monotonous, and you really can't tell the level of your guys, because, you know, it's the same old, everybody kind of know each other. Towards the end, I would like to style it like the pros. I would like to practice against someone for a few days, then you have the spring game. And I think the public will be satisfied with that tremendously. I think it's a tremendous idea. Yeah, I've told those personnel who should understand that it's a tremendous idea.
So that was Deion Sanders on the spring game saying, hey, let's get some joint practices in here with another team, and then let's have a spring game against another program. What do you think of that, Joe? Is that what it's going to take to get people excited about spring football around here?
Oh, this isn't new. People have talked about this before. Actually, Mark D'Antonio, when I was on that beat a long time ago, kind of got into this big time, like, about how, you know, they were talking about maybe like a MAC team, you know, coming to East Lansing and things like that. Hey, look, I think it's a pretty good idea, but you know, even with the NFL, it's like those practices and stuff. And obviously the preseason game, they mean nothing, but those practices mean something.
Yeah.
But those are the teams that are about to start playing.
Right.
Whereas this is, you know, you still have, like, in the spring, I mean, you've got a ton of your, you know, obviously you got freshmen, some are early enrollees, but for the most part, they're not coming until August. I mean, there's still movement in the portal to come. It's just, that's the problem. The problem with spring football is, no matter what you do, like, you are putting lipstick on a pig. It's just, it doesn't mean anything. You know, the spring game, some people get excited, and there are some fan bases. I mean, I've been to the Tennessee spring game with very good crowds. A lot of times that has to do with maybe excitement about a quarterback coming yep. in or something like that. I mean, the Nico for a spring game. But most places, it's just, you're just doing practice, you know? You're just practicing, and now you have these coaches who are all like, I don't want other coaches to see my players practicing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So you got that too. So that idea totally flies in the face of, now I'm going to have guys in a competitive game with another right. team. I just feel like you play the game of football and you play a game, and again, you're not doing it like a preseason game, which is basically like, okay, the starters might get a series or two and then get them the heck out of there.
Yep.
If you're actually trying to play a game and have your regulars, you're going to get somebody hurt in the spring. And then, like, you're going to lose someone for the fall because of that. And I, like, so, I think it's a decent idea. But, again, it's been thrown out there before. And some of the stuff I just said usually ends up throwing cold water on it.
Well, it's – I think part of the reason this is fascinating from Deion is exactly what you said, because of how different coaches are viewing this right now. Some coaches want no part of the spring game anymore, because they don't want other teams and programs having a chance to take a look on tape of some of their guys and then getting in the portal and going to get them. Like, that's part of what the spring football is right now. It's like, some people are staying away from the spring game and they don't want any part of that stuff. Some people say, we're having a spring game as long as I'm going to be here as the head coach. And now Deion is talking about playing other teams. It's interesting, like, how different that coaches are viewing this right now in terms of spring football. And again, like, at the end of the day, does anybody really care about spring football? No, but it is different in terms of, like, how they view the transfer part of this. Like, Dan Lanning, I think, at Oregon the other day was like, as long as I'm at Oregon, we're going to have a spring game. And he doesn't care about any of the transfer portal stuff. It's one thing at Oregon. It's another thing at, you know, Nebraska or pick yeah. your other program across the country.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Like, you can say the power programs, like, they're the ones who are going to go out there and pluck from other teams. But, I mean, that like, Nebraska's acting like they're, you know, Toledo.
I know.
I'm sorry, but like the idea that your guys out there, first of all these people were high school prospects, right?
Correct.
Nobody's sneaking someone in out somebody. Of nowhere. It's like, whoa, who is this guy? 6'6", 320, runs a 4.5? Like, I understand the guys have been in the weight room, but what do you really – like, you're going to be playing games next year, and if they're good, they're going to play in the games, and everybody can watch everybody's games. You think in the spring it's got some spies lurking around?
Well, I guess the thought
with binoculars?
Is – binoculars? Well, first off, college football has been known to have some spies with some binoculars.
True.
I guess the thought is, like, if somebody plays really well in the spring game, that it's like the portal window opens up, and they're like, hey, we'll offer you a few more
million dollars. You can start for us right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on in. Like, would that happen? Maybe. Now, again, to your point, how many teams actually play spring games anymore? Like, I know Tennessee's is not – it's not really a game.
Yeah.
It's like a glorified practice. Is what it is.
Very few. Yeah. Because the problem is it's really hard to have two full offensive lines.
Correct.
And so what you have is, you know, you'll just have like a couple walk-ons on one side or both sides or whatever, and then it's just like you can't even play. So, yeah, and everybody who has any sort of injury, all the postseason surgeries that you held off happened, so they're not playing. So, yeah, I mean, the best thing you can do in the spring to me as far as like fan experience – and also, I think, to get some value, is to just go ones against ones. And so it's not a spring game per se. You can do the modified scoring thing where it's like you get 2 points for a tackle for loss. I mean, I've seen those spring games before. But at least if you have one best against best for some scrimmaging, that's not a spring game, right? Spring game is you're supposed to split the team up and have some of the best players on one side and some on the other side. Very rarely can teams pull that off anymore.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Cam to the program. Cam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, fellas.
Hey, Cam.
So, okay, I was at the 2007 Alabama 8A game when they had broke Ohio State's record for capacity. At halftime, they had made an announcement they had to shut the gates because we were at 92,000, which was the capacity of the stadium. And, you know, I was born and raised in Alabama. Alabama was dirt poor. If you bring in another team, are those games still free? Can the fans – you get what I'm saying? I mean, if you bring in another team to play those games, like – because, you know, for me, anything Deion does is kind of like a money grab, and that's just the sunglasses, pistachio commercials, you know, whatever. If you bring in another team, are those fans still going to be able – the fans that can't afford to go to the games and pay the ticket prices, because some of them just look forward to that 8A game in Alabama.
Right.
All year, and they, you know, they bring their family, they bring their kids. I mean, they literally made an announcement in the stadium. They had to shut the gates at halftime because we had reached the capacity of 92,000, and there were still thousands of people outside of the stadium that just couldn't get in. That was the first year Nick Saban had took over the Crimson Tide. So I'm just curious on what you guys think about, like, are we going for a money grab here? Or is it really about college interest and college football? Thanks.
Yep. Thanks for the call. It's a good question. My original guess would be, Joe, that it probably wouldn't be free, and it would probably be somewhere in the middle of like game ticket price and free. Like you'd probably be discounted rate.
I mean, if it's more than $5, it's criminal.
I agree.
You know, but to Cam's point, and Cam, that actually Ohio State comes to mind there. That's the same thing at Ohio State. They got a waiting list. You know, miles long for tickets. And so their spring game has often been, like a lot of fans, that's when they can go watch them play.
Right.
So, you know, programs like that, that happens. Now, I'm pretty sure that's not, you know, that's also depends on your time of your program. Like, that was so much excitement about Saban, right?
Yeah.
Not only that happens every year, right?
No.
For Alabama. So, but I think that's a fair point. And yeah, like, great. It's a game that doesn't count. I guess Syracuse replied to Deion, right? Syracuse's coach is like, we'll come out there for 3 days.
Yeah.
Okay, so a Colorado-Syracuse, you know, exhibition game. If you charge more than $5 per person, seriously, you are absolutely – it's absurd.
I mean,
but
I
I'm
agree
sure,
with that.
I'm
but...
sure there's some – of course, anything in college sports now is you trying to figure out a way to make it into revenue.
I agree with that, but – the same thing applies like when, you know, when Alabama's playing Mercer it's the same thing. Yeah. Like, that game is in doubt. Everybody knows what that game's going to look like before you walk into the stadium. And yet it's still $100-some-odd to get in.
But at least it counts, and, like, your starters, like, your star players and stuff will play for a half, whereas in this stuff, who's playing? I mean, who knows? Spring football sucks.
I totally agree.
Spring football, the combine, all these things that are not actual football suck. Football is awesome.
I totally agree. But some people love spring football, man.
Yeah.
I've got some people involved on Twitter that are like, you seeing David Sanders?
David Sanders. Let's watch some of those pass
sets.
David
Sanders doing his pass sets.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's awesome. We can't wait.
Look at that knee bend on David Sanders. Look at him in those drills.
Well, I mean, last year it was you seeing Chaz Nimrod at spring football? How'd that work out in the regular season?
Oh, Nimrod is lighting up the spring. Oh, I mean, every program has like those spring heroes, you know, and then all of a sudden they just disappear in the fall.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode coming up next. I've been looking forward to this one. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Rowe.
Toots is the driving cat.
Toots can drive a car.
Toots is our cat?
Yeah, come on, I'll show you.
Toots, look out! I thought you said he could drive.
Well, I thought he could. I saw him up there fooling around with the steering wheel, and I guess I just assumed he could drive.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexrode, who's been contemplating this rant ever since he walked in the door this morning. Joe, the floor is yours.
Well, I got texts coming in today. With someone who probably feels a little sheepish today. So, you know, the question, Robbie, is like, you know, what do you do? You know, what do you do if you're me? You know, do I come with full meanness on this? Or do I, you know, have a little bit of grace?
Oh, I got a feeling as you get going, the meanness will just espouse.
Well, sorry, as I'm doing this, can you tell me what Oklahoma? Okay, there you go. Oklahoma's a 9. There you go. There's – I'm going through the seedings here for this. So, we're talking about the NCAA tournament. I was driving around yesterday and I heard Jared talking about the NCAA tournament. So, a lot of bad – there's always mistakes. There's always something that makes people mad when the bracket comes out. And there's always angry conversation about it, okay? And then there's – dumb conversation about it. And I'm sorry, but like I feel like I have to do this because like there were people who were probably listening to Jared yesterday who were like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And I feel like it's a public service to try to correct some things. Okay.
Okay.
So a couple things to get to. One is, you know, North Carolina, that's a huge point of contention. And I agree. That was what he sent me this morning. John Fanta said it's Robbie's. I guess he doesn't know anything either. I'm like, I have no problem with you saying UNC shouldn't be in the field. Now, he also said that it's because, again, money runs everything, and so that's what it's about. So, again, I don't disagree in general with that statement, but let's also keep things in context. There's a contract that goes through 2032 for $8.8 billion. North Carolina being a crappy 11 seed in this tournament doesn't affect any money at all, guys. It just doesn't. The contract is signed. They're an 11 seed. If money was all that mattered, how the hell is Xavier in over Indiana? There's a decision that does not make any sense from a money perspective. That's a huge fan base that got screwed. Meanwhile, the governor of West Virginia is threatening an investigation. And hey, now speaking of money, Bubba Cunningham, the North Carolina AD and selection committee chair, did get $100,000 for North. So if you want to look at Bubba and his friends saying, hey, Bubba, you know, how about a little $100,000 bonus in your contract for North Carolina making the tournament? I agree they shouldn't be in. But let's also keep this in context. Seth Davis, before the tournament, argued like hell that they should be in. Bart Torvik, who's one of the metrics nerds in college basketball, was arguing like hell that they should be in because of who they scheduled and how they played down the stretch. I mean, again, let's not act like they were like the 19th team out that got pulled in. They were like, to me, they should have been about the last or the first or second team out that got in. People are mad. Let's keep it in context. Jared also said conference tournaments mean nothing. This one could be its own total rant. Like, these games did nothing. They meant nothing. I had this conversation at Bridgestone this weekend. The conference tournaments don't mean any more or less than whatever the games that are being played in the tournaments are, right? So if you play, like, Florida is not a one seed if it doesn't win the first two games of this tournament. They did, and so they got the one seed. Alabama, Tennessee were in play for the one seed. Florida won its one seed this weekend in Nashville. That happened. So you can't tell me they don't count. Are there weird seedings? Yes. Jared's Louisville Cardinals, I was surprised they got an 8 and they got to the championship game. But one problem is the ACC doesn't give you high-impact games because the ACC sucks. So I still think that they should have been a 7 and maybe a 6. There are always weird seedings. Here's another thing to keep in mind. You know, seeding can go up or down a line. That is part of the rules to make a bracket fit. I'm not saying that happened there. But that's another thing to keep in mind in CD. And then we had this just gem yesterday from Stille that we're going to play right now.
And I think that the SEC has threatened to secede from the NCAA tournament. They've already essentially done it well enough in college football. The SEC and the Big Ten get something they don't like. They bitch about it. They threaten to leave. Well, maybe we shouldn't play in this basketball tournament, Big Bad Greg Sankey says. And the NCAA tournament's like, no, we need the SEC. So what do? You overseed the SEC. That's what happened. I mean, the SEC probably should have had 13 teams in. Texas, but I knew the SEC was getting all 14 teams in. When Greg Sankey started doing kind of the political rounds, I'm like, oh, he is threatening. He's not saying it, but he wants all 14 teams in. Boom. All 14 teams get it. We got Lenardi telling us that Vanderbilt's going to be in the play-in game, and Vanderbilt's a 10. So, and that does bother me. And I do feel like we do seed the tournament based off of who has the most power.
That's one of the dumbest things he's ever said.
Did Lenardi really have Vanderbilt in the play-in game?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't. Yeah. You know, that's a seed line off of what they were.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go to my bracket Sunday morning. This came out Sunday morning. This is, again, not because my bracket was awesome. I missed three teams. It obviously wasn't awesome. But just to refute what Jared is claiming, like the SEC was overseeded because they have power. No one is threatening to leave and form their own tournament. That's something that some media people have speculated as down the road, this whole break off and be the NFL out, and then you can do right. Your own tournament. We're nowhere in that. No one is talking about that. No one in this committee is thinking about that. No one would ever think about that. The contract goes through 2032 for $8.8 billion, and if it happens, that's after all these people have cashed their chips in anyway. It's just a terribly stupid thing to say. Here's my bracket Sunday morning. I said Florida was going to be a 1. They were a 1. I said Auburn was going to be a 1. They were a 1. I said Tennessee was going to be a 2. They were a 2. I said Alabama was going to be a 2. They were a 2. Texas A&M, I said they could be a 3. They were a 4. Down a seed line. Oh, what does it mean? Now, Kentucky, I had a 4. They were a 3. That was those offside each other. I said Missouri was going to be a 6. They were a 6. I said Ole Miss was going to be a 6. They were a 6. I said Mississippi State was going to be an 8. They were an 8. I said Vanderbilt was going to be a 10. They were a 10. I said Arkansas was going to be a 10. They were a 10. Go to Bracket Matrix. If you care about this stuff, you have to be a real nerd of college basketball. They have every bracket combined, and they show all the seeding. Every seeding was in line. Now, Texas, I had out of my field. They're in the field. They have a better case of North Carolina to be in the field. I mean, It's not some huge crime that Texas is in the field. I thought Boise State would be in, so you could call that a money grab. But the idea that and another thing he said was that the SEC isn't any better than normal this year. It's just that they beat each other up, and it's a media narrative. And, again, money, power, ESPN. What data do you think they use? What data would you use other than game results? They kicked the crap out of everybody else this season with these teams which is why we've been talking about him all year as historically good, which is why we see the bracket that it is now. Game results, what else do you have? It's mind-boggling. Jared, do not talk any more college basketball the rest of the month.
So to answer the question as to whether or not you were going to be mean toward the end of this, I think we've got our answer.
Yes, I tried not to be. It could have been worse.
It went exactly the way I thought it would go, which is awesome.
I talked myself
just progressively
into
getting
talked myself into
more
a red
and more
face.
Upset. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will be with us coming up next. Robbie and Rex Row, 1025-1063, The Game.